If you got a disharmony operating, a disharmony in the body of Christ, or a malfunction where people are not operating on one accord, flesh is a lie. Nasty flesh. That's that flesh, man. That's the most stinking thing ever created in the history of earth. And flesh was not supposed to be reigning over human beings. God made a spirit man and subjected the flesh to the spirit man. You're supposed to be operating in a harmonious condition on the inside of you, because your flesh is in subjection to your spirit. You dictate to it. But when the flesh rises up to take you over, now you got this chaotic, crazy, ignorant, filthy thing that's trying to direct your life. And you know, flesh is not just this physical body. Flesh is a nature. Flesh is a rebellious nature that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. What governs the flesh? The Bible is very plain. Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind. See, the carnal mind is the enemy of God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You can religiously teach the carnal mind, and it will act like a Christian, but it'll still have the rudiments and the elements of the flesh appended to it. And the real saint that's pressing in toward the spirit will always pick up flesh. That sounds good. It looks right. It sounds practical. But it's got flesh in it. That's the safety valve for the church. That some people are conformed to Christ to the degree that they become spiritual. And flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. The two are contrary one to the other. That's just not an internal warfare within the confines of your own being. It's also practically applied when you deal with people. If they're in the flesh and you're in the spirit, it's going to be what? Conflict. It's going to be a contrariness there. It won't be the ability to walk in one accord because somebody is in the flesh. So we're going to deal with some of the dictates of the flesh today, show you how the devil is orchestrating a plan to make Christians believe they're in the spirit when in fact they're in the flesh. They operate in soul power. It's like James Brown being a soul man. You know, you got soul power that mimics the flesh. The Bible calls this a work of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, which is emulations. It emulates the spirit, but it cannot walk in the spirit. And when it comes into an atmosphere of truth and where God's spirit is really moving, the flesh will be offended and it will finally go away. Flesh will begin the race, but flesh will never finish it. It's like a person trying to race with long distance runners. They haven't trained. They haven't been prepared. They don't know anything about long distance running. We're about to run 26 miles and you never ran a mile before in your life. I don't know how long it'll take. Probably a couple of hundred feet in most cases. But when those long distance runners start running, you will drop out. You will drop out because you can't take the long haul. You don't have one significant thing that you need, which is what? Endurance. He that endures to the end shall be saved. One of the dictates of the spirit man, the spirit has got endurance. Why? Because the spirit is eternal. It's a dynamo. It doesn't need to be, it didn't have to eat, didn't have to sleep. Nothing this pertains to the physical world is germane to the spirit. So when you get into the spirit, you'll have endurance. In the flesh, you will get knocked out of this. I can guarantee you, if you're in the flesh, you might get happy and excited and think these are good messages and it's a blessing and all that other stuff you append to it. But in a minute, you will drop out of this race. Because Satan knows when you're in the flesh, and he'll make you believe you're spiritual and have a plan already designed to knock you out of the race. So it's got to be real. All right, by way of announcements, remember the conference May 22nd through the 25th here in Atlanta. Atlanta Renaissance Hotel, that'll be going up on the internet this week. I said this week, last week, but it should be up for real this week. And all the information you need to register and get the information pulled down to be a part of the conference May 22nd through the 25th. You know that's Memorial Day weekend. So the 25th is actually an extra day on Monday, either the travel or layover or whatever you want to do. So you won't have to rush back out of here Sunday afternoon necessarily to get back to work on Monday. So we planned it around the holiday so that that extra day gives people the opportunity not to be pressurized to have to do things real fast. So that's the holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd through the 25th here in Atlanta. The Army of God Conference. It's time for the Army to rise up out of the world and be seen as a fighting force for God. Also remember the prayer line every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1-805-399-1000. That's 1-805-399-1000. The access code is 409-367 for the prayer line. 409-367 for the prayer line. The prayer line is for praying, not preaching, not prophesying, not proclamations, not fantasizing, not trying to tell folks about a recipe you got for a new chicken pot pie. Prayer. I mean, it's so simple. How can you make flesh can make things hard. I just described flesh, so now you get what I'm talking about. Flesh will distort and confuse a blank sheet of bond paper. You ask about a blank sheet of bond paper, and they'll look for the black dot on it. See, here, just take this and run me some copies of. You know this has a black dot in the very far right-hand corner, right on the edge of the paper. It's a small black smudge there. Look, just run the copies, please. I mean, the flesh is something else. It will confuse anything. It begins to ask questions, analyze, conceptualize, theorize. It just goes on and on. And the thing is just simple. And it's made hard by the flesh. So remember, the prayer line is for prayer. You want to fellowship with somebody? Call them. You never get on the prayer line to fellowship. Call them at home and fellowship with them. Prayer line for prayer. Everybody repeat that after me. Prayer line for prayer. You have to try to mess it up. Last thing. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle. We're still pressing toward the Dunamis Tabernacle. What's needed, in my opinion, is a Christian base camp that models Christianity. Not a selfish place that becomes a Jim Jones, David Koresh environment where you think you've got it here at this new church. We're here and we're the ones that have it. You're still a lunatic. You're still in the flesh. You're crazy. It's all about selflessly serving the community you're in. You know, you could save a lot of folks if you just serve the community, feed them, clothe them, take care of them. You got a refuge that anybody can come to for help. You can save a lot of people when you're selfless, but when you're selfish, man, you're there trying to be the great men of the new order, the Christian knights, the whatever you call yourself. You're crazy is what's wrong with you. The lords of order, or the lords of disorder, or whatever the bloods, the crypts, or what. Look, what are you trying to be? Stop. A selfless person can save some folks. You know something? It's bad when your definition of Christianity is everybody hates you. A lot of people walk like that. They think, I'm on my job, they hate me. I went home, they hate me. My parents hate me. Everybody hates me. Because of what I stand for, you need to get saved.
That's right.
Because Christians are not hated by everybody.
That's right.
Think about what I'm saying. If that's the case, they would have hated Jesus. Everybody would have hated Jesus. Jesus saved a lot of folks. Paul saved a lot of folks. Peter saved a lot of folks. All the disciples saving all these folks. But yet everybody hates you. It's like that TV show, wasn't it? Everybody hates Chris. Or Chris Rock. How can it be that everybody on earth hates you? You know why they hate you? Because you got a bitter, nasty personality, and you're nasty, and you got meanness in you, and everybody hates you because of your personality. I don't like you neither. You know, that's the way it is. Everybody doesn't hate a Christian. Some folk are looking for salvation. They're looking for help. They're looking to hear, how can I get out of this mess? I'm bound. I'm chained. I'm a drug addict. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm a sex addict. I'm a nymphomaniac. I'm messed up. I'm torn up inside. Can you help me? The Gadarene demoniac didn't hate Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood didn't hate Jesus. The man who brought his boy demon possessed didn't hate Jesus. See, you can be messed up by religion, thinking that the sign that makes you a Christian is everybody hates me and you glory in it. You get on the internet bragging about how many people hate you and how many people deleted you. Well, I'm deleting you too because you're a nut. You know, you're a kook. You're a wacko. Folks, if we can just get back to some practical common sense, to being normal again. You know what you find a lot of in church? Kooks. There's a lot of kooks in church. Have you noticed that over the years? Because they try to take Christ to make them somebody. And that will always make you into a nut. You'll become wacky, lunatic fringe. They'll start right now at Christmas time trying to tell you about paganism and the Christian, where it came from, Christmas, Santa Claus is the devil. And look. If you transition from the flesh to the spirit, none of that will matter. The goal is to get folks saved, born again, and moving away from darkness to light, from death to life, and coming to a whole new lifestyle. The Bible says, old things pass away, and behold, look and see, all things have been made new. Yes. Everything. You are totally renovated, made over again, because you've been born again. So don't take people hating you as necessarily a sign of your Christianity. It can be a sign that you just a nut. Or just got a nasty personality and got a nasty demeanor about yourself. You treat people so mean that they can never ingest Christ from your personality because you're so full of yourself and pride. And that's that old self-righteous spirit. Self-righteousness is not the same as the righteousness of faith. Because the righteousness of faith carries no energy. You just tell a person something flatline, they accept it or reject it. Hey, blessing, brother. One day I hope you see it. You move on down the road. Nothing to discuss. But when you take it personally, now you got to grab the guy by the throat and start slinging him around and trying to make, I'm going to beat you into salvation. I'll pulverize you. I'll make you, I'm going to say you're saved. Say it. Look, man. Stop. You're losing your mind. I saw a guy trying to tell a guy about Jesus. The guy was a Mormon. And he was really a Hebrew Israelite, one of these black 5%er type guys trying to come with the Bible. And a lot of Christians thinking, see that guy there, he had that word. He told that guy. And the guy was in a complete delusion. And folks believed the guy was trying to tell him something. And well, he was proud, arrogant, had a big mouth, and it was crazy. And folks thought that was the power of God and the boldness of a Christian. That's lunatic friend stuff, y'all. There's no energy in this. You get disempowered and the Holy Spirit will empower you. You'll walk in the Spirit not to fulfill the lust of your flesh. And your life is not, you don't carry a burden. You don't carry the load.
That's right.
The yoke is easy. The burden is light. Even in a war. Because it's not my fight. The battle, the Bible says, is the Lord. So what are we taking everything personally for? It makes no sense. All right. That's going to wrap it up for today. I can probably wrap it right there with that. But let's get into the lesson for today. As we talk about the topic, one last push. I think to get out of here and to end this world. See, the name of this ministry is Omega Ministries. We're an end time ministry. We're here to wrap up a world, to end a world, not to save a world. Because the world can't be saved. Did you know that? God gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him that the world might be saved. So he says, look, God and his righteousness and his holiness has already saved the whole world. It's past tense. But what happens in time and space? You must accept it. You must accept the salvation. You, as a free-willed agent, must accept the salvation. You can bring gifts to a person all you want. The gift will never benefit the person unless they receive it. You must accept the gift for you to have the benefits of the gift. You're starving, and I got a truckload of food in the driveway, and you tell me I don't want anything you got in that truck. And you starve to death. Now, whose fault is it? It's not mine. I brought the food. I brought the gift. But you wouldn't receive it. You died refusing to accept life. And that's what it's all about. That's why once saved, always saved is not true. That's why Calvinism is not true. That's why unconditional eternal security is not true. That's why super grace is not true. See, super grace bypasses the free will. No matter what you do, God loves you so much that you'll be saved. That ain't true. If you can't see all the conditions in this Bible, all the if-then statements that God gives you, if you, then I. If you can't see that, you'll walk off of that cliff in a delusion. Why do we stand against Calvinism and once saved, always saved? Because it will damn your soul. You'll be getting up from a bed of adultery or fornication and have a heart attack thinking you were once saved, so you're always saved. And you'll be in hell that night. You can't afford delusional teachings. Not now. You're too close to the end. Why do we call this an end time ministry? Because it's always the end of somebody's world every day.
That's right.
See, people always, in this fantasy-stricken mindset, try to project the end of the world into the future. Not knowing, Jesus told the man, tonight your soul will be required of you. You're dying tonight. So the end time message is always practical, and it's always applicable because you can leave here today at any age, 18, 20, 30. A lot of promises in the Bible. One promise not made is tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to you in the Bible. So I'm infallible. I'm not the Pope, but I am infallible here. I'm infallible with an end time message because it's always the end of somebody's world every day. I direct you right over to Southwest Cemetery, Lincoln Cemetery, Peaceful Gardens Cemetery, whatever city you live in. Whatever cemetery is down the street, that makes what I'm saying infallible. I have to be right. Your mama's dead. Your granddaddy dead. Your great-great-granddaddy dead. You got brothers dead, sisters dead, aunts and uncles dead. I'm infallible. It's always the end of somebody's world. It's always the last day on earth for somebody. Anybody listening to my live stream, it'll be 1,600 people hear this by live stream by Friday. Any one of them can die from now to Friday. This could be their last chance to hear a way out of hell into heaven. But if you forsake it, nothing you can do. The Bible says, if you regard lying vanities, you'll forsake your own mercy. So if you pay attention to lying vanities, the world systems, and all the hoopla of the world, and you just concentrate on that, you can forsake your own mercy that God's trying to provide for you. You never want to highlight and exaggerate the devil to the extent that you can't see the gospel for the devil, because you'll have faith in the devil's power. All the stuff the devil's doing on earth, that's what you'll believe in. So the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. You know, they just talked about on the internet a minute ago, Two New York policemen that were assassinated. See, they're using the word assassinated. Mm-hmm. Not murdered.
Yeah.
Assassinated. See, this thing is trying to be brought into a whole new realm of calamity down here.
Yeah. Yeah.
The devil wants order out of disorder, and I'll show you why in just a minute in this message. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing a good job of it. That's why you got to sell the farm now and get out of here. You got to get your mind, your emotions, every part of you out of here not to fall prey to what he's doing. And we're going to talk about two words that are diametrically opposed to each other to kind of highlight what I'm talking about today. Because if you don't understand the distinction between those two words, man, you'll be down here caught up in the biggest mess ever in the history of earth. And you got to understand these two words. We'll talk about them later. All right, let's go. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word. God, take our minds and yield them to yourself so we can concentrate. Too many distractions, God. For a couple hours here, let our minds be focused on the word of God and the truth of the Bible. Yes. So that this Bible can work in us to pull us out of here, that we can see life clearly and live life fruitfully here on earth. God, give us grace to hear. Give us the mind of the learned and let us see clearly what you're trying to tell us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. You don't want to be distracted down here. You know, a lot of people have heard so many gospel messages that they are passive hearers. They hear what you're saying, but and they appear to be listening to it, but it has no concrete change evident in the life of the person that heard it because they passively listen. They're not intent. They're not concentrated. They don't take notes. They don't fabricate a inner perspective concerning the gospel whereby they see the whole picture. It's like somebody that's distracted here, there, listening to that over there, thinking about this over there, thinking about home, thinking about what I'm going to cook tonight, thinking about what I got to wear tomorrow to work. All this stuff floating around in your mind can distract you away from the gospel in the inner man. You don't need outward distractions. You can be distracted from the gospel in the inner man in your own thought processes. So I just warn you, don't let that happen to you. All right, today we're talking about one last push. The foundational scripture is Judges chapter 16, the story of Samson and Delilah. One last push, the story of Samson and Delilah. We're going to zero down on a major problem down here now and what the devil is really doing to actually undermine the lives of people. I'm of the opinion, and you don't have to agree with this because it's my opinion, but I think it's valid, but it's not necessary that you see it this way. I really believe that if you restore men, you can fix the church. Because the women are basically ready to go. So you really believe that? Yep, I do. Why do you believe that? Because women have become very authoritative. The women have more testosterone in them than the guys do. So a woman right now is set on edge, ready to launch a warfare, while the guys have become passive. But God won't work in that arena. He won't work because that's not what he designed. So we're stalled out, circling in the wilderness, waiting for men to be born in the wilderness to take leadership roles. Restore the men, restore the church. You got millions of women that will conform to men who have leadership potential. They'll just do it automatically. You don't have to try to make them, have to say anything to them. If they see leaders rise up, they'll say, you know what? I'm going with them. I'm tired of following these women. They're too catty. They got too many attitudes, too much control over here in this church. I'm tired of these women trying to put these prophecies on me and trying to make me do all this stuff, take care of their kids and all this other stuff, and they're the pastor. They're using me. I see these women pimping me. It's bad to be a woman pimped by another woman. Then you're in these sissy churches. You know the guy got no guts. He laying around with everything in the church, fornicating and committing adultery and living like an animal. But you go to church because you have nowhere else to go. If a real ministry rises up with men who are authoritative, loving, compassionate, and leaders, you forsake all that garbage. It's like the difference between being with a no good man and a man that treats you right. A woman. If you were a no good man and a guy comes along treating you right, any fool knows, trade in this drag. Trade in the drag for somebody that's doing you right. Why would you just keep sitting there being done in and treated like trash when you don't have to be? Trade in the drag for somebody that's doing you right. So that's what's going to happen in the church. When you get real leadership rise up, a lot of women will forsake this craziness and come to where the real leadership is. So reorder and restore the men, and you restore the church all by itself. You don't have to try to make it happen. It will happen automatically. So we're dealing with Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Let's look at it. He says, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a what? A whore, a prostitute, a harlot. And the knucklehead went in unto her. Now, this opening statement gives you all the characteristics of Samson's personality and what undermines him. He's a whoremonger, full of lust, and always chasing skirt tails. Now, why is this so detrimental? The Bible warns us in several scriptures about the detrimental things that will happen to a man if he deals with harlots. Let's look at a few of them. Proverbs 23. Keep your hand in Judges 16 and look over at Proverbs 23. Look what it says. The Bible is very practical. It's not a real, it's a spiritual book, but it deals with real life situations. That's very important about the Bible, so you don't go off the deep end. It's a spiritual book, but it's practical. It deals with real life circumstances. Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. So you fall into the deep ditch and then can't climb out. Where is the deep ditch located? Between her legs. You fall into that pit, and buddy, you can't get out. Here you are, a man with a family, three kids, a wife, and you forsake all of that, lose everything, go broke, go crazy because of the deep ditch between a whore's legs. Look how many men have been destroyed. Lives have been ruined. Families broken up. All because of some woman and sex. And you ask the guy, hey, man, what did she do to you? Man, I can't explain it, man. It's just, I don't know, man. When she got a hold of me, I lost my mind. That's crazy. A nasty vagina is costing you everything. That's why you know it's supernatural power there. That's what's dangerous about a woman. And a woman got to be very aware of this. That the vagina is a divining orifice. You can divine witchcraft through your vagina. You might think you got some power when you're doing it. You're done, and I'm out here, man. I'm hot on the trail. These jokers, I'm knocking them down. I'm knocking them down. See that brand new Mercedes? See that condo I'm living in? See all the furniture in it? Guess how I got it? You guessed it. The deep ditch. The deep ditch dug it for me. See, that can become heady. You can become real messed up in your head about being able to throw it on somebody and put that witchcraft on them through sexual prowess and sexual skills and get what you want. But then you got to be damned to hell forever. And don't get me wrong. I am not in any way, shape, form, or fashion underestimating the power of this thing. This thing got power. You might think you can, I don't see it, man. Okay, you keep living, you'll see it. It's real power there because it's witchcraft at the highest level. Why is this witchcraft so powerful? Let's keep looking. Proverbs chapter 5. If it wasn't this powerful, there wouldn't be warnings about it in the Bible. See, folk don't like you to bring up this kind of stuff. Sorry. I'm bringing it up. Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drops as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. A oily mouth with all that luscious lipstick and all those shiny lips with that oil all in your ear. Hey, baby, you from around here? And all that honey just dripping out of her mouth. The honey all on her chin, dripping all down on her shirt. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make this up. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. In other words, you can't figure this out, man. You can't figure out a whore. I tell my sons, I said, look, man, in the flesh, unsaved, you are never in control when you're dealing with a woman. She saw you 25 miles away walking toward her. Y'all know when y'all, look, I ain't talking to folk that one saved, that's always, y'all always been saved. Now y'all trying to pull a holy stunt like, I don't know, I always been saved. No, you ain't always been saved. You was in the club and you had it on, strapped on tight and everything was right. All the heels and the pocketbook, everything matching. And, you know, you had yourself dolled up. Your weed was laid to the left or the right. You were strutting through the club, had everything together. And you knew who was looking at you, checking about. You knew the victims when you walked in the door. You thinking, I can take him down. And she, oh, I can take him out. Like you a sniper. Who are you, Jason Bourne or somebody? You're in the club as Jason Bourne. Got a mess with this. Oh, look at him over on the boss dude. I'm going to go and be, hey, tell your girls you're running with. Y'all sit down. I'm going to get all of us some drinks. Go over there and strut it over there in that little mini skirt. Cross them legs at the bar. And it, all your girls, that joker sending bottles over to the table. The best stuff, best champagne. Why? You were a well-skilled harlot. You was a harlot and you were plying your trade in the club. Thought you were on top of your game, you were doing it. But then the curses got to come on you. Your life becomes hell. Your mind becomes hell. Everything becomes hell. Children out of wedlock, half crazy, beat up by some bum that you made mad. All this stuff happening because you were plying your trade thinking you were on top of your game as a witchcraft working whore. All you do is curse yourself. He says, talking to this young man, hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house. This is silly Samson now. Lest you give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Now, you know what old Lemuel's mother told him in Proverbs 31, that you can give your strength to a woman. See, when you are victimized by that vagina power, the V power, once the V power got a hold of you, it transferred your strength from you to the woman. Why? She's got your gonads. She castrated you. I taught a lesson years ago about how Adam was castrated by Eve. One lady got off of the internet. Oh, he's talking about Adam was castrated. Oh, I know this is wrong, but let me out of here. Hold it. Did you listen to what was said? This is spiritual castration. It's not physical. See, a carnal mind trying to ingest spiritual data, it will just throw your mind into chaos because you can't process it. That's why you've got to sit down, for God's sake, shut up and listen. Listen. Because you might be told something you don't know. Lest you give your honor unto others and your years unto the cruel. That's why guys end up in jail. That's why they're broken down. That's why they're walking around with their pants pulled down to their knees, covered in tattoos, with dreadlocks and curls draped down the back of their necks. They gave their manhood to the whores. That's why they look like women. The whore is masculine. When you stomped into that club with those stilettos on, that miniskirt on, and all that makeup and that bouffant hairdo, you were a man. And you were a man hunting for what? Unstable souls. You hunted down the guys that were really women in men's bodies. A whore is masculine, and she preys on feminine men. A whore will never accost a man, a masculine man, because they can't conquer them. They deal with internal sissies. Guys who have been castrated and broken down normally by their mama. Usually the mama has already begun the work and broken the boy down, victimized the boy, and made him ready for the whore. So your mama prepared you for the whores. You go into the street hating your mama, castrated by your mama, broken down by your mama, and you're going to be victimized by these whores. Samson was a whoremonger. He loved whores and harlots. So when you're in the world, in the street as a guy, there is something very alluring and attractive about a whore. You know what it is? The fact that she will do anything. Anything you imagine, a whore will do it. Especially the prostitutes, because they're getting paid to do it. So you got them out there urinating in folks' mouths, defecating in folks' mouths. You got all kinds of appetites. A guy, John, go to a prostitute and say, "I want you to urinate in my mouth." You know what you're going to say? Okay. That'll be $175. Now think about a mind that no matter what a person thinks up, you'll do it based on the money. You don't believe it? Talk to Kerry Washington on Scandal and find out why she's on Scandal. That's all about the money. And you play the role and do anything they put into the script because of the money. You're not an actress. You're a prostitute. And look how many women don't miss one episode of Scandal. You know why? They've got the same thing in them that the person on Scandal has in them. And they look at the icon that reflects what they are. I like to see a whore take a man down. A powerful man, politician, is whimpering and whining at the feet of Kerry Washington because she's throwing it on him just right. And baby, that's me. When I'm looking at Beyonce, I'm vicariously living my life through Beyonce. Look how she throw them hips. Look at the guys. Girl, do it. That girl was doing it, man. She was throwing that thing. And that's the women talking. Nicki Minaj was interviewed this week on the internet. Lady called in. "Nicki, I'm going to tell you, your breasts look beautiful. Girl, you got them out there. They really look good." That's a woman. She was living vicariously through Nicki Minaj's whoredoms. Because I'm going down here to Colombia or Brazil and get mine looking like that. They go to the plastic surgeons and tell them now they want body parts based on the stars. Look, I want a Kim Kardashian butt. I want a Nicki Minaj set of breasts. I want Angelina Jolie lips. And I want... You're Frankenstein's daughter when they get through with you with all these dead folks' body parts on you. Why? Because they're living vicariously through other people. Whores are queens to other whores. She used her stuff. See, they refer to their vaginas as my stuff. She used her stuff to rise to power like I want to. In Atlanta, now you want to see a city that's just bathed in this. This is Atlanta. Because all the players come to Atlanta. There's a lot of sports stars live here. A lot of recording stars and hip-hop stars. This city right here, man, runs heavy with this. You got some of the most beautiful whores in the nation in Atlanta. Where they at? They're at the club at night. They're at the strip joints trying to get one of the NFL players. you got some of these girls that service the rap artists. High-end hoes, Lil Wayne make a phone call here in Miami. He'll fly that girl from Detroit to Miami. They fly them all over the nation. Cash Money Crew in Miami, we need you to come down here and take care of us. Guys sitting around playing poker with the whores under the table giving everybody oral sex that they playing cards. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. This ain't theory. You talk to the players who go to the players convention every year, all the pimp, big time pimps, they get those women to do anything with the pimps and the other women for entertainment. You're at the beck and call of the demons when you're a whore. And they'll have you thinking, I'm on top of my game. Right. Nicki Minaj is strutting around like she's some kind of a elegant star or something. Nicki Minaj says things in rap songs that would make a dog vomit. Look what the world is attracted to. Look what the women seek to emulate. Women have been taken over by lust. Why you think all these teachers are jumping these young boys in high school and in middle school? Because they're taken over by pornography and lust, and they just want that guy so bad that they go and get a 13-year-old boy to try to put that fire out between their legs. It ain't funny when you've been taken over by nymphomania and you can't be satisfied sexually all day, all night. Your vagina on fire, full of lust, can't get rid of it. All day you burning. All day you on edge. Want somebody to have sex with. Man, some people have committed suicide from the spirit of nymphomania just driving them crazy. So you think you want to get out there and you think it's fun. But when those demons come into you, you got to understand one thing about demons. They are insatiable. A demon of lust, all it can do is lust. You give yourself over to it, all it will do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week through you is lust. And that's a driving, tormenting influence. Demons are tormentors. He says, let strangers be filled with your wealth, that you're going to be broke with nothing and a stinking whoremonger with nothing. Watch the guys, broken down, alcoholic, drug addicts, just dragging around in life. Broken down with nothing because they've been subject to whoremongering. And thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Somebody else going to have your stuff. And you mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof. God tried to warn you and you went right down to the whore and had your head chopped off. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor incline mine ear to them that instructed me. Watch out, God is always trying to tell folks and warn them. They don't listen, they pay the price. I was almost in all evil in the midst of what? Where are the whores at? In church. It's nothing worse than a church whore. If you think brick and mortar and two doors separate whores from the church, you're crazy. They absorb them right into the church, and in the midst of the congregation, they'll decapitate you. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Stay with your own wife, man. I guarantee you, a whore is not going to have two of anything that your wife don't have. Like, I'm looking for something new. Your wife got everything that whore across the street got. So what are you looking for? Well, I'm a man of variety. See, when I go to Baskin's Robbins, those 31 flavors, I'm always just thrown into chaos trying to decide which flavor I want. See, lust is not lust for sex. Lust is a desire for variety. It's seeking for variety. Man, there's a light-skinned babe. Oh, I like them brown-skinned babes. You know, I really like them dark-skinned babes, too. Then I like white babes. Oh, there's a Hispanic babe. Yeah, have you seen the Oriental babe? There was an Oriental babe mixed with black over there. Yeah, look, you're going to go crazy. You're going crazy. But I'm telling you the conversations guys have. Man, there was a babe down there. She was Indian, black, Oriental, and Hispanic. I like to went crazy when I saw that babe walking. Man, I would just, man, I get that babe anything she want. Man, you crazy. What's wrong with you? Sit down and shut up. I'm trying to bowl, man. Get the bowling alley. And there's some girl walking, you go crazy. What's wrong with you? Just me and the world walking down the mall in the mall with guys. Man, look at that butt. Man, hey, don't they? Man, look, turn around, man, turn around. Look at that butt. What's wrong with you? Crazy. That's the insanity of lust. It will drive a joker crazy. You might think it's funny. It's got the church full stop. Why don't you see guys coming to this? Because I'm describing them. I'm defining them. They don't like it. They're offended by it. They're bound by the spirit of lust and won't get into God's army to fight against it and win. They're trapped inside the interior portions of a vagina. Just sitting in there bathed in it. Just in vaginal juices. Sitting there just frying in the vagina like a fool. Drowning in it. And I'm saying, hey, man, come on over here, man. We'll wash you off, man. Get you cleaned up. Get the stank off of you and everything. And, you know, the fish and all that stuff that's on you. And we'll come on and move on down the road. I don't like, see, that's what I don't like about him right there. He's too graphic. I don't care because this is a nasty, filthy, dirty, no-down world and I'm describing reality. It's a nasty, stank environment they live in and trying to make it all fashionable and nice and cute and make it pristine. It's filthy. And I'm going to describe it as filthy because that's the way it is. You need to get up off of your butt, man, and stop being a stinking, filthy whoremonger, bathed in all this filth and whoredoms, and come over here on God's side and get your life cleaned up.
Yes. Amen.
He says, talking about your wife, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. I told you the Bible was very, very practical. Well, my wife's best is just to feed my children. Aren't they just for breast milk? No. Because the Bible didn't say that. The Bible said, let her breast do what? Satisfy thee at all times. And be thou ravished always with her love. See, the Bible, don't cut no corners. That is, just, what, that, is that in the Bible? I just read it. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? See, everybody's showing you their breast. Their breast, that's a calling card, letting you know. Yeah. You can have mine. You don't just need your wives. You can have mine too. Here. That's what they're doing. It's advertisement. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holding with the cords of his sins, bound by your own sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. It's pitiful, man, when you read it out loud. You got a wife. A wife should, first of all, be your best friend.
That's right.
If my wife and I go somewhere, we can have a good time with nobody else around. Travel all kinds of places, go and see stuff, go shopping in places, looking around in straw markets and stuff like that. When you're really married to somebody, y'all can hang around. You don't need anybody else outside of that marriage to actually make it exciting or fulfilling or try to add to it. You can have fun with your wife or your husband all by yourself.
That's right.
If you got some other couple, other friends that go along, fine, but you don't need it because you finally settled down. Your internal parts are settled. You're not looking around for anything else. Now, a guy has to be aware right now. On the streets right now, it's hot out there. Whores prefer to hunt down married guys. That's they look on your finger to see, oh, he's married. Let me take that joker. Dad. I'm going to break up that home, break up that marriage. I'm taking this boy down. Because they need what? Validation. And by taking you from a woman, they validate themselves. Then they don't want you after that. Oh, I don't want to get married. I don't want you like that. I just wanted to use you for a minute and show and prove to myself I could do it. Some women think in terms of, I can get any man I want. I look so good and I'm on top of my game so strong. Any guy I set my mind to get, I don't care if he's married, I don't care what race he is, there's not a man I've met that I couldn't conquer. Give me enough time, I will take that joker down. And the most dangerous ones are the educated, brilliant, articulate whores. Because they don't look like whores. See, they're well read in all the latest sexual experiments and all this other stuff. They've read all the sexual data and all the different Cosmo articles and all the different Chinese books on sex. And they read all that stuff. They're very well attuned to what's happening in the sex world. Seen the porno flicks, but they looked at it with an intelligent look, an intellectual analysis of the porno. Oh, I see how she made that move there. Okay, I'm going to do that when I, you know, they're down to Frederick of Hollywood buying all their sex gear. The Bible calls them well-heeled harlots. You ever read in the Bible? That's what he's talking about. Not some old trashy looking old tramp down on the street looking crazy with all of her teeth busted out. No, not her. The pimp busted out a teeth, you know, teeth the other week. You know, not her. No, I'm talking about the stylish girls. I'm talking about, man, fashion icons. They got this stuff together, man. They buy it. They all have Mary McFadden and Michael Kors and if you're from the hood, Givenchy. But if you're from France, Givenchy. But from the hood, Givenchy. You got in that Givenchy cologne. You know, I mean, that's what you got going on. The stylish ones are the ones that are the slick ones because they don't look like they're doing what they're doing. The Bible says a whore can eat, wipe her mouth, and tell you what? I didn't eat it. So the Bible says they don't look like they're doing what they're doing. This is very operative in church. Got a Bible. Well dressed, nice hairstyle, good personality. Even the wives like her. My wife had a friend, married, living in a nice home with a lady living behind the home in another home that was a friend of the family. Always at the house. You know where she's living now, don't you? She's living with that woman's husband that she took from him. Everything that glitters is not gold. Like an old preacher said one time, every shut eye is not sleep. you better know what's going on. You got to walk around like this now. Every shut eye ain't sleep. Yeah, oh, they're sleeping. No, they ain't. They sitting there with their crack looking through their eyelid to see what you're doing. Studying a way to take you down. I am not in any way subjecting you to any kind of paranoia. But wisdom and paranoia are not the same thing.
That's right.
You got to be wise. He that wins souls is wise. You walk around an environment, and a lot of these women out there now set on green, especially in a city like Atlanta because it's full of homosexuals. They got nobody. There are career women everywhere here that go home alone every night. You know, every Christmas they play that movie Home Alone. What was that, Macaulay Culkin or whatever the name is? Every Christmas, Home Alone will come on 35,000 times on AMC. And see a lot of women going home alone. You get tired of going on cruises with your girlfriend, going out to dinner every Saturday night with your girlfriend's girls' night. That girls' night out stuff get old. So you got to know that walking around as a guy. Because there are victimizers out there. There are seductresses everywhere. that are lonely. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Commandments from your father, laws from your mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When you go, it shall lead thee. When you sleep, it shall keep thee. And when you awake, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? Why do I need all these instructions? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. That word strange woman is alien woman, a foreign woman, a woman that is not within the confines of the faith. Lust not after her beauty. The Bible didn't say she was ugly. That one guy was talking about Beyonce one time. He told me, one thing about Beyonce, she ugly to me. I said, look, man, look. No, look. Wait, see, now you done gone off into a delusion. Beyonce is not ugly. Let's be for real. Nicki Minaj is not ugly. Rihanna's not ugly. I mean, the devil ain't going to put no ugly bait on the end of the line. He ain't stupid. Going to get the Wicked Witch of the West with all of her teeth broke out and busted out, with her hair all jacked up and skinny and drawn up and twiggy and nasty, 85 years old, and tell you, now this is the next superstar. Come on, man. Beyonce is not ugly, man. Beyonce is a beautiful girl. That's what the devil uses. He says, lust not after her beauty in your heart, neither let her take thee with her what?
Eyes.
The eyes are where they stalk the prey. Like you did in the club. You were flashing them baby browns around the club, you know. You know, when the light hits you, they're right there. Them browns light up, man. You flash them over there, that guy, cutting them over there, the guy, you know. And them eyelids fluttering, them eyes flashing. You knew you had yourself together. You knew that you had it together. You had it together. Don't let her take you with those eyelids, man. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for what? The precious life. Now the word for life there is the nefesh, which is the word for spirit. She's hunting for your spiritual life. She's trying to cut you off from God. That's what spiritual castration is. It's cutting you off from God. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that doeth it destroys what?
His own soul.
A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. So if he walks in on you with his wife in his bed, he's going to kill you. That's what the Bible's telling you. He's going to empty 6 or 7 guns into you. And that's going to be, and the police are going to say, well, were you in his house? Yeah. Were you in his room? Yes. With his wife? Yes. The guy went temporarily insane. A lot of jurors won't even convict the guy. Same way a woman would do when you walk in with that woman in your house, in your room with your husband, in your negligee, having taken a bath in your tub and put on your perfume, and then got the nerve to call you a bee when you walk in the house. Yeah, B, I'm in here with your man. What of it? See, that's going to be real ugly. You saved and everything, but it might get real ugly real fast. And we got to call on the Lord real fast up in here because somebody getting ready to get hurt. Because a lot of whores talk big smack to the wife. That's why you got to be real saved now.
Yeah.
You better be. Why am I saying this? We talk about a base camp. We talk about a church. Mm-hmm. A church is a volatile arena.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it is.
You guys are folk looking in your eyes in church to tell you, I'm going to take your man. Mm-hmm. And you stand there like, ain't this church? I thought this was church. I'm up in the club. No. No, man. You got to wake up out of this make-believe world. I'm telling y'all, I try to preach people out of the make-believe world. I told you, come out the matrix. Wake up out of the matrix.